Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindakajai Namacharya Shilabhira Stakulukajai Rem Se Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadatha Shibhasiti Go Bhakta Vrindakajai Shishi Radhakrishna Gopinath Shaima Kunda Radhakunda Girigo Vrindakajai Vrindavana Kajai Jagannatha Swami Kajai, Manamai Kajai, Srimati Lasi Devi Kajai, Sambhavita Bhakta, Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Premananda, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One of the second text. This is the first text. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 19th chapter, text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Katavim nirvivishu,
Shikravim nirvivishu,
Kradantyo davatarshitaha,
Kradantyo davatarshita,
Jagavo mahishascha,
Jagavo mahishascha,
Nirvishantyo vanadvanam,
Nirvishantyo vanadvanam,
Shikatavim nirvivishu, Krandantyo davadarshitaha
Krandantyo davadarshitaha
Jagava mahishascha
Jagava mahishascha
Nirvishantyo vanadvanam
Nirvishantyo vanadvanam
Yishikatavim nirvivishu
Yishikatavim nirvivishu
Krandantyo davadarshitaha Parshitaha.
Parshitaha.
Ajagavo mahishascha.
Ajagavo mahishascha.
Nirvishantyo vanadvanam.
Nirvishantyo vanadvanam.
Shikatavim nirvishishu.
Shikatavim nirvishishu.
Vidantantyo davatarshitaha.
Vidantantyo davatarshitaha.
Jagavo mahishyascha
Jagavo mahishyascha
Vadvanam.
Nirvisham Yavadvanam.
Ishi Kadvandim Nirvivishu. Prantantyo Davatarashitaha.
Prantantyo Davatarashitaha.
Jagavo Mahishasya. So, I found this particular word, one word in this purport, of course, they're all important, is very interesting. Tarshitaha. Actually, they translated it as thirsty, but actually refers to the disturbances Sanskrit refers to the disturbances caused by the senses. And there's an interesting verse where Devahuti, of course, is the mother of Lord Kapiladev and the wife of Kardama. So the story is as follows, that Kardama Muni, he really enabled his wife, Devahuti, to get all sorts of enjoyment. Actually, first she had to prove her devotion. This really interesting story. How did she prove her devotion? Well, she was from a family, a king's family, obviously royal family, Kshatriya family. And in the royal families, they're really used to opulence, right? A lot of opulence. I mean, to describe it, she had so much opulence, she was protected. She never even left the castle, or the palace. She basically had a place on the top there where she would play her games. This is a story in Bhagavatam. There's a reason I'm telling this story. So believe me, it's not that I've lost my mind. It's just like gone off into a different story. So she was really enjoying life, and she was so pretty that, of course, mostly the princesses, they were protected from unscrupulous men. It's actually very important, the separation between men and women. Not extreme separation. There's actually two opposite sides, two opposite opinions that we have, right? One is that there should be extreme separation, that basically men should never see women, women should never see the men, and everyone should wear burkas. Ah. Even the men, you know. Or blinders. Men should wear blinders and the women should wear burkas. So that's extreme. And we actually see these extremes in ISKCON today. Actually, it's like there's some ashrams where there's no lady allowed to come onto the grounds of the property. They call it Mount Athos. Anyway, no, that's a Greek thing. There's a Greek thing, like, you know, really extreme. And then what happens when you have a situation like that, then the men actually start thinking more about the women. So that it doesn't really work like that. You know, both extremes end up in disaster. Because the men are just like separated. And just like that story, Rishi Sringa. You know Rishi Sringa's story? Rishi Sringa, he was brought up, his father really was a chauvinist. I mean, he's the biggest chauvinist you can imagine. Because, you know, one lady, her name was Harsha, tried to trick him into having a relationship, so he got really upset. And then, you know, through his genetic material, a son was born, through a deer, I mean. That's a story that reminds me, don't blame me. It's not me. Telling racy stories from class. So anyway, there was a son born, and he was so upset with women, he decided to set up a Hare Krishna temple without any ladies, right? Mm. And so this Rishi Sringa never, even the female animals were prohibited from the forest. It's like Mount Athos, it's actually just like that. So anyway, so then what happened is that when it came time to attract Rishi Sringa to a kingdom, I'm not going to tell the whole story, but never mind. They employed the help of some ladies. He had never seen a lady before, so he just thought it was a good-looking brahmachari.
And they were dressed like brahmachari, right?
Yeah, they were dressed like brahmachari, like sages. And he said, wow. And the lady said, in our country, we don't offer obeisances. We just... Lingana, we embrace each other. So anyway, so he had his romancha, which means his hair stood up. He thought it was a spiritual symptom. And then he Anyway, he went with her, and anyway, it was good. Actually, it worked out pretty well, because that way Lord Ramchandra was born, and you know, it was all sorts of good things, and there was rain in the kingdom. But it really doesn't work like that. So the opposite side is, you know, unlimited restriction between men and women. And that also doesn't work either. So you have to have some medium or sort of strategy. So in the case, let's get back to the story. So Devahuti, she was protected by her father. And basically she didn't see any other men other than her family members. And she would play on the roof of the palace. And sometimes the demigods, they would fly by in 747s. She was so beautiful, they just like fell out of the airplane. Fortunately, because they were demigods, they didn't need parachutes, so they didn't die. That's the advantage. So anyway, so she was living a very sheltered life. So then what happened is that it was arranged that she would marry this Muni, Kardama Muni. And Kardama Muni, he was engaged in what? Austerities. Mm. So here she goes from a sheltered life, as they say, life of Riley, I guess that's what you used to say in America. And she goes from this really austere life, you know, where you just don't get any new saris, or, you know, and you have to work like anything to please your husband. Confirmed. I mean, so don't worry, girls, it's not what you get in this modern world. So anyway, so, and my phone also beeped too. So, double confirmation. So, anyway, so she did this austerity, and then her husband said that, you know, you've undergone all these austerities, you deserve some reward. So the reward is, if you're married to Muni, you get a pretty good reward for your austerities. What did she get? She got a flying city and castle. Anyway, they're flying through the air. This is bigger than any of the jumbo jets, you know, even the 380. And she had servants, and they were bathing her, gave her saris and jewelry and everything like that. And she became so enthusiastic, and she had a relationship with her husband at that point, and all sorts of girls were born. So, which is nice. The Brahmachari ashram was full. So, and they all went to Goloka. So anyway, eventually she wanted a son, you know, because her husband was getting ready, because the girls had gotten married to others. And so there was no one to take care of her. And her husband was thinking, now it's time to take sannyas. And so she thinks, you know, who's there to protect me? And therefore, she had a son. And her son is an incarnation of Krishna known as Kapiladeva. And the reason I'm telling the story is that there's this very interesting verse that she speaks to her son. And it starts, trying to remember, Nirvina, Nikram, Bhuman, Asad, Indriya, Tarshanat. So this is the same word that's being used here. That's what struck me when I heard this verse. Mm-hmm. Nirvina, Nikram, Bhuman, Asad, Indriya, Tarshanat, Kavananam, Madam, Tama, Prabho. Which is an interesting verse. In the Bhagavatam it says, I'll give a rough translation. I am sick, because this Tarshanat, and that particular verse is described as the disturbances of the senses. So she says, I am sick of these darshan, these disturbances of the senses, which is what we're hearing about here. You know, the senses are very disturbing, as the Bhagavad Gita describes. Avritam jnanametena jnanino nichivayana kamarupena kontiya dushparena adalena cha. Of course, Prabhupada sometimes mentions it's like trying to put out a fire by throwing gasoline on it. You know, like trying to satisfy the senses. Really, the material senses can't be satisfied except by the process of Krishna consciousness. But, you know, by material process, material adjustments, they can't be satisfied. So that's why the yogis, they are very regulated. Vijahana, vihara, shah, you know, moderate path, not eating too much, not eating too little. The yogis don't, like, have big feasts at night. When everything is over and they walk into the ashram and they go to the kitchen and cook pakoras with each other. The yogis eat at the same time every day. They sleep the same time every day, wake up at the same time every day. It's very regulated. It's called the middle path, mitjahara. You understand? Moderate in eating, sleeping, and actually that's what Buddha realized too. Buddha also went to one extreme when he realized that there was death, disease, and old age, right? And that he almost killed himself through that extreme, and then he realized the middle path was the path. Not eating too much, not eating too little, not sleeping too much, not sleeping too little. Regulate. Like you see these great acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, they were regulated. You could actually set your watch by them. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first acharya actually to have was at that time a pocket watch. He didn't have a wristwatch, they didn't have wristwatches in those days. So he had this, I guess called a fob, you know, you pull out of your pocket and you check. And he regulated even the deity worship in Jagannath Puri to an extreme, to a second like that. It's very important. Why is regulation of deity worship to an extreme important? Because that way you think of Krishna's pleasure. If you just like make an offering and then, you know, you're 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, you know, Krishna will wait. Or one time devotees had some idea that, you know, that we'll make the offering and then we'll keep bringing things up to Krishna after the offering. So we had some hot puris. You know, the concept was actually devotional. But it's just like, it's on Krishna's time. In other words, it's not our time. So it actually trains you up. And Krishna, of course, says, Kala was me, I am the time. So the regulation is very important to control the disturbances of the senses. You know, I find that if you basically eat the same thing every day, and it sounds a little boring. People say that sometimes, that, oh my God, it's a disaster, you know. You know, instead of like one day we eat Chinese food, the next day Japanese food, the next day Italian food, the next day Indian food, the next day American veggie burgers. Anyways, I remember there were some young people here one time, devotees, and for the Sunday feast they cooked veggie burgers, which is all right. I mean, I don't mind. And we do these things to attract people to Krishna consciousness, but if we actually want to regulate the senses, you know, then that's another thing. You know, we should, and that way everything is calm. That's what I experience, is everything is done, you know, at the same time, you know what you're going to do, you have a schedule and everything like that. It's, life is nice. So anyway, so she says, getting back to the verse of Devahuti, Nirvina Nitram Bhuman Asat Indriya Tarshana. And she ends the verse, Prabhadanam Adam Prabhu, that I accept you as my master. Now this is really an interesting point. How can a mother accept a child as her master? It's unbelievable. Generally, mothers, isn't it? Any person. Especially in India, look at the culture. In India, we have some, you know, devotees, disciples who are from India or Indian families, and they have to get permission from their mothers to come to the temple. We just had someone visit the temple. He wanted to come a long time, but finally he got permission from his mother. And the reason he got permission from his mother, because his mother knew another mother of another devotee who was in the temple, and this devotee was safe, right? So, but here is a mother taking shelter of her son. Now that's also another interesting point, that one should, if one finds association, one should take shelter of that association, regardless of the physical relationship, regardless of the gender. You know, nowadays, based upon the Indian culture that was highly influenced by the Muslims, there is so much, I mean, people think, oh, this is Vedic culture. You know, Vedic. Veda means knowledge. You know, what is Vedic culture? Is it a certain style of buildings? I mean, I remember when the devotees were struggling over what style of building the TOVP would be. And they said, no, it should be Vedic like this. And then it was pointed out, well, that was Middle Eastern. But it's not a question. You know, Vedic doesn't preclude Middle Eastern agriculture. So the Vedic agriculture is, architecture, and agriculture too. Vedic architecture is actually architecture that's meant to glorify God. So let's say you have a church, like the Hagia Sophia, you know, which has now become a mosque again. But originally it was meant to glorify, yeah, it's still meant to glorify God. But that's Vedic, right? You know, so we have this whole conception of Vedic, and we impose our, let's say, a temporary culture on that conception. You understand? We think that certain foods are Vedic. I mean, Krishna certainly does like certain foods. I mean, Krishna, especially Madhubanga, likes laddams. So you can say that's Vedic. But whether pizza is Vedic or not, it's it. If you offer to Krishna with love and devotion, it's Vedic. What's the harm?
It depends what kind of cheese you use.
What?
It depends what kind of cheese you use.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of cheese. It has to be himsa cheese. Himsa cheese. It has to be himsa. Yeah, because Vedic means cow protection. Yeah. I mean, that's another subject which I'm not going to talk about because it's controversial. So you have all these cultural norms that are not actually transcendental. Like, for example, when people one time they were talking about, well, if women could become gurus, then little children could become gurus. Well, yes, it's true. You got the four kumaras. They're 5 years old. They're gurus. Not only gurus, they're the head of what? Their own sampradaya. They're mahagurus. And, you know, so you got children the head of one sampradaya and a lady the head of another sampradaya. And then you got an avaduta, Lord Shiva, the head of another sampradaya, our sampradaya, right? Someone who doesn't wear clothes. I mean, you think about it, you know, it's open for anybody who knows the science of Krishna. You already think that's how they got Krishna Upadesha. Hiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi Shudra Kenanai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda, Se Guru Hai. So, and then Lord Brahma, he's the manager of the universe. So we got a manager, one sampradaya, a lady another sampradaya, an avaduta another sampradaya, and four kids, 4 or 5 year old kids of another sampradaya. So the idea is where there's Krishna consciousness. Oh, you would like the points I just made. Okay. Thank you. So Krishna consciousness, you know, transcends all these, you know, physical, you know, so if you could find someone who is Krishna conscious, whether it's a child or an old man or an old lady or a young lady or a guy with a horse head on him. Right? Krishna has there's actually a demon named Hayagriva, and there's also an incarnation of Krishna named Ramakrishna. That's interesting. Hayagriva, Griva means head. So Haya means
horse
like
head.
A horse head. It's like Dasagriva means 10 heads. Who was my friend, Ravi. President of the United States. Oh, sorry. So, you know, if you find someone who's Krishna conscious, Kiva Vipra, Kiva Nyasi, Shudra Kenanai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veda Se Guru Hai. Then you accept that person as a guide in spiritual life. It is so rare. I mean, we hear in the Bhagavad Gita, what is it? Manushanam sahasresha kastidyatati. Siddhaya. That after many, many thousands of people, perhaps one is looking for the truth, of those who know the truth, perhaps one knows Krishna. And also, you're Bhavanam Janmanamante. So it is so rare. You find a fish, like Matsya Avatar, right? Matsya Avatar. Or half man, half wine. Look at all these cool incarnations Krishna has. So how can you say that, you know, a particular gender can't be a guru when you can have a fish as a guru? Right? The King Satyavrata is instructed by Matsya, right? It's really interesting. I mean, Krishna consciousness is really so liberal, it's incredible. But one has to know the science of Krishna. So anyway, getting back to the point. So Devahuti, so I was talking about Tarshana. So all of us, whoops, not leaving much time over, are experiencing these disturbances of the senses. And her solution is Prabhu. That you become my master. In other words, if we want to master the senses, then we have to accept Krishna, and of course Krishna's representative is our master. In other words, when we make a decision in life, it's not that we make the decision based upon what appeals to my senses, right? But generally in the material world we do that, you know. Oh, I really want to go to Disneyland now. Actually, I was talking to some young people here, Ishwar Chaitanya and his sister Cindy, and said, would you like to go with me to Disneyland? And they said, no, ooh. I said, you're more advanced than I am. So anyway, so, you know, we have these impulses. What is the pushing? Vegams, right? The Udur Pashta Vegam, Hila Vegam, Vachu Vegam, you know, all these pushings. So that's our general direction, you know, what pushes us with our mind. Of course, manasa, that's, that really is there. They're pushing us. So we have to accept superior direction. Instead of the pushing from them, we accept the pushing from Guru. Guru Vega. Actually, I just invented that one. I never heard of it. But anyway, so the Guru Mukha Padma Bhaktiyachite Te Guru Yakya, right? And so this is the solution for the tarshana, for the disturbances. And that's, this word really, I mean, just like struck me. Also, in the fourth verse of the first chapter of the 10th canto, Nidritta Tarshar, same thing, same word. Remember, does anyone know that verse? Nidritta Tarshar, Vigyamana, Vavoshilat Shodra, Manoviramat, Ka Uttama Shloka Gunana Vadat, Puman Virajeta, Vana Pashudnat. That's actually the, I would consider that the nutshell verse of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's 10.14. True, Mother Irma knows that verse, right? Nivritta Tarshar. See, there's the same word. Tarshar, Tarshanat. So, Nivritta, get rid of the disturbances of the senses. The same thing as Devahuti said. I'm sick of the disturbances. Nivritta Tarshar Upagiyamana. That one can get rid of these disturbances of the senses by Bhavosya structure, Mano Viramat. By actually hearing the pleasing Mano Viramat, actually is a very interesting concept. Mind, Avira, Ramat, in pleasing to the mind. Wow, it's beautiful. Actually, it's a beautiful verse. By hearing Krishna Katha, Ka Uttama Shloka, those transcendental verses, Gunanavada, that describe the qualities of the Lord coming from, of course, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakti, and the only people who are not going to be attracted to that, of course, that's the last part of that verse, Puman Vidajeta Vinapa Shikap, those who are killers of the soul, killers of animals, or as we say, meatheads. Meat eaters. So, So really, that's the point. If you want to get rid of these tarsanat, you know, the disturbances of the senses, then that's what you have to do here. And also here means to bhavanti vrikkhana rasayanikata, to take from your ear to your heart, to really change things, not just, well, in one ear out another. You take that. And then all the disturbances go away. So then the other question is, we've got 1 minute left, sorry. How is it that these cows and goats were experiencing these disturbances? Because they don't have material bodies, do they? They have Satchitananda bodies. Here's a Satchitananda body experiencing too much heat and thirst like that. And oh my God, what's happened with that Satchitananda body? Well, the point is that this is Yogamaya. That actually, the thirst and disturbances, this is the bhava that's explained by the acharyas, is for Krishna's association. And they're actually feeling separation from Krishna. That's the point. That's what's burning them, the separation from Krishna. Yugayatam nimishyana chakshusha purvashayatam shunyayatam jagatsaram govindavidahiname. Anyway, so even the cows, and even the goats. Generally, I'm not too favorable to goats. This is why they say a goat will eat anything. Anyway, so, but even the goats are experiencing separation from Krishna. And that's really what's burning them at this particular point. And Yogamaya is giving them this apparent sensation of burning and tarsana. That word is used here. Such an interesting word, tarsana. It really requires many classes discussing it. Okay, on that happy note, I gave you the solution. All glorious is Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. Well, I just go on forever. It's just not. It's good to be like Prabhupada was most 40 minutes. So I'm not going to try to be better than
that.
We could extend it, yeah, but I don't want to be more than Prabhupada. So, Shishi Radha Gaurav Ki Jai.
Thank you.
Thank you. Acharya Satata Shima is divine grace of my
Okay,
Shishastika.
Jai Jai.